All right, we're thankful to have, excuse me, Brother Martin with us. He was with us on Thursday night. It was a tremendous message. He comes every year, and we're grateful for him and all that he does, and he's always a blessing to our church. And so he'll be with us this morning and tonight, and so let's give him a warm Pacific Baptist welcome as he comes.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. It's good to be with you all again, and I sure enjoy the opportunities to get to come for all these years. As I said Thursday, I know it's over 20 years I've been coming out here, and I thank the Lord for your church, and I'm so glad that you all finally in the building here, but also upstairs. I was amazed as I went through and saw the classrooms, offices, the gymnasium, and everything. Wow, praise the Lord. God's given you just a wonderful place to minister out of and to try to do the will of God. Amen. I want to introduce my wife, Terry. If you don't know her, you can stand and wave at everybody. Amen. Thank the Lord for her. And we do have a friend with us today, Felice. Just wave at everybody if you would. And thank the Lord for her being here today. And I want to try to be a help to you today, an encouragement this morning. And with a message that I think will get to the heart of things quickly. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. I'm going to read a portion of Scripture here. Galatians chapter 6, beginning in verse number 11. Of course, this is written by the Holy Spirit, all right, through the Apostle Paul to the church at Galatia. It says this in verse 11, "You see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ." The couple just sang, or the trio just sang about that. All the glory belongs to him. Amen. "God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen." I want to speak about something today that I'm sure each and every one of us have, possess in our bodies, and have gotten them throughout the course of our lifetime. You say, "What's that, Brother Martin?" I want to talk about scars, about scars. I looked it up in the Webster 1828 dictionary, and it said the definition for scar is a mark made by a wound or ulcer remaining after it is healed. A wound that is, or a mark that is made by a wound or ulcer remaining after it is healed. It goes on to say any mark or injury. And it goes on to say this, I like this, it says the soldier is proud of his scars. Most soldiers are, and they're thankful that they had the privilege to be able to bear that for what they did. And but you know, there's many different scars that we have in our life, and I think about right away, the first thing that comes to my mind with myself is when I was in the Navy, serving in the United States Navy, I broke my ankle, and I broke both bones in my ankle, and it did pretty a horrific injury, and they had to put a screw through it and all that. But I have this huge gaping scar still to this day that's around my ankle. It reminds me of that time back there when that thing happened in my life. I've got, if anybody ever looks closely enough, when you look at my face, both of my eyebrows have gashes in them. You say, "What's that from?" Well, from my stupidity, okay? But chasing my sister around the picnic table and slip and fell, and boom. I did it not once, but twice. You think I'd learn after the first time. But anyways, scars from that. I've got a birthmark scar on the top of my head. There's a spot, and probably some have noticed it. Nobody ever mentioned stuff like this, but there's like a little bald spot on top of my head. And it came from the way I was positioned in my mother's womb. My head was resting on her pelvic bone, and it wore through. And actually, when I was born, there was a hole there. So, preacher, I tell people I have a reason for not having any brains, okay? They came out before I came out, amen? But no, seriously, I've got that scar there. It's been there for as long as I've been alive. Everyone has scars if you live very long. There are, however, many different kinds of scars. I'm talking about some physical scars here. But the truth of the matter is there's emotional scars that we have to go through in our lifetime. The loss of loved ones. I've got a picture that I keep in my Bible of my sister, who I lost about 2 years ago in a tragic way. But it left an emotional scar. I still, to this day, I lost my mother and my father, and as close as my mom was to me and my father, I don't know that I think more about my sister than I do them. It's still there. It's an emotional scar. There's mental scars. What are you talking about, Brother Martin? I'm talking about trauma from maybe the treatment of other people and things that we have to deal with in life. Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 22 says the words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Amen. And so, yes, there's mental scars, there's physical scars, there's emotional scars that we all have to deal with. And those scars may end up healing, they almost always leave, they almost always leave behind a scar. And something that reminds us of what happened. And I'm not here today to make light of anyone's scars or of the wounds that you've had to endure in your life, but I'm here to tell you that you have a God that knows all about what you've been through. And He wants you to be victorious, even through the scars that you've had to endure throughout your lifetime, so that one day you'll be able to come to the place to look back and to say, and this is the title of the message, it's worth the scars. It's worth the scars. You say, well, I sure can't do that right now. I get that. But there'll come a day, hopefully, will you be able to look back and say, it's worth the scars. That's what I want to preach about this morning. Father, I pray that you'd bless the next few moments we have to spend together. I pray that you would speak to our hearts. I pray that you would encourage us, Lord, through the simple truth. And as the Apostle Paul mentioned here and said, He bore in his body the marks of the Lord Jesus, and it was like a badge of honor for him for the scars that he had to endure and go through. And Lord, that talking physical scars, but there's mental scars and emotional scars and all those things. I pray that, Lord, we would get to the place to look back in our life and to give you all the glory for everything that happens in our life, and know that one day when we get to see you in heaven, it'll be worth it all. Father, would you please have your will and way? And Lord, I beg you, if there's somebody here today that's not sure they're on their way to heaven, I pray they wouldn't walk out of these doors without getting that settled today. And Lord, encourage your people, I pray, and we'll be careful to give you the glory, for it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. I just got three simple little thoughts today. The first one is simply this: it's worth the scars to get to know him. It's worth the scars to get to know him. You say, what do you mean by that, Brother Martin? Oh, it's worth the scars to get to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Boy, I hope today that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And you may have been through a whole lot of things in your life, and there may be a whole lot of scars that you've had to deal with in your life. But I'm going to tell you something. There's a precious Savior that loves you, and he wants you to know him and know that he can help you through everything that you go through in life. I've shared some of my testimony here before, but as a young child growing up, I remember my earliest recollections of life are taking a pillow and wrapping it around my head to drown out the screams of my mom as my dad would beat her and abuse her. I remember so often times that we would pray, and as little children we would gather together and pray and ask God not to let Dad come home, because we knew what would happen if he came home. He was a World War II veteran. He was discharged with he had a nervous breakdown. And they gave him a Valium for this nervous breakdown. And then he began to drink, and he became a very violent person. And it was just a terrible, horrific life to have to go through. I've shared many times, as a young child, I couldn't even communicate with people. I in school, if the teachers needed to talk to me or something, they'd have to go through my parents. I wouldn't even talk with them. I wouldn't even communicate with them because of those things that I've been through. You say, well, how in the world did you get to the place where you've got to today? I'm telling you, thank God he had a purpose and he had a plan in it all. And even though I don't understand it all, I thank God for the scars that I had to go through. People have said so many times, preacher, I bet you wish you could go back and rewrite history and have a different growing up period and all that. No, I don't. Why? Because God uses all of that to make us who we are. Amen. And because of all those things, I looked more to the Lord and I drew closer to God to the day where I came and trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And it was worth the scars to go through it all. Amen. I think of different people throughout the Bible. I think about little Samuel. You think about Samuel and when his mother Hannah had him and she gave him back to the Lord and said, she took him to the tabernacle there, the temple, and turned him over at a young age, 4, 5, 6 years of age. Can you imagine what he was going through? In the story of that passage of scripture, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 3 real quick. And in the story in 1 Samuel chapter 3 of Samuel, it tells us that, little story here, it says, the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. It came to pass at the time when Eli was laid down in his place, his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I." See, he didn't even, it goes on to tell us here, he didn't even know God at this time. But God was trying to speak to him. And I'm going to tell you something. If you don't know God right now, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, he's trying to speak to you right now. Amen. He wants you to come to know him. Amen. And Samuel, all he knew was the one in authority over him. So he ran right to him. "Here am I." And he said, "I didn't speak to you. Go back and lay down." He did that 3 times. And it tells us again in this passage of scripture that Samuel didn't even know the Lord at this time. But the last time, after the 3rd time, it says that Eli finally realized God's trying to speak to this kid. So you just say, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." And so he cried out that time after the last time when the Lord spoke to him. And what happened? He came to know the Lord. And God said, "I got a plan for your life and I want to use your life." I mean, he was a little boy, but he had a plan for it. Can I say something? He's got a plan for every one of your life. Every one of us that sit here today that he wants to fulfill. The greatest part of that plan is getting to know him. Man, I've met so many people that struggle and battle and won't come to the Lord. Why? Because of all the heartaches they've been through. Because of all the scars they've had to endure. Because of the situations. And, well, why would God allow me to go through these things? Hey, listen, we don't know it all. God has the answers to it all. His ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. But I guarantee you one thing. He's a great God, and he's a God worthy of serving. And he's a God that you want to come to know. Amen. Amen. What are you saying, Brother Martin? It's worth the scars to get to know him. We could look at life of the Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul persecuted the church, persecuted Christians, killed them, bound them and everything. But in Acts chapter 9, on the Damascus Road, as he was going to persecute more Christians and kill Christians and destroy the church, God spoke to him from heaven. And guess what? God met him and God talked with him and God said, "Listen, I want you to know who I am." And I'm paraphrasing, of course, so we could go read all the verses, but it tells us over in the Philippians chapter 3 that the Apostle Paul said toward the end of his life there, "I count all things but dung that I may win Christ." You know what? It doesn't matter. He said, I came from an affluent background. I came from all this, but that didn't mean anything. You know what? The only thing that means anything is knowing Jesus Christ. Amen. What are you saying, Brother Martin? Hey, it's worth the scars to get to know him today. I had a situation that happened here a while back, and I was asked to preach a funeral, and it was for an 18-year-old girl. that had died of a heroin overdose. The funeral home called me and asked if I would preach the funeral, and they didn't have, the family didn't have a church, they didn't have a pastor. I said, absolutely. I tried to figure out a little bit about it. They said, we can't tell you anything about it. You just have to be here right before the service. You can talk to the parents. So I had to prepare this message not knowing anything about this individual or anything, but I prepared a message just basically on what she would tell you if she was here today. And I tell you what, when this life's over with, we're going to know that there's a heaven, and we're going to know that there's a hell, amen? And you're going to want everybody back here to know that that heaven is a real place that you want to go to. But anyways, I got to talk to the parents that right before the service, and man, they were just as steely-eyed as you could possibly imagine. They were only 38 and 39 years old, and they've lost their 18-year-old daughter, and I looked at them and I said, I don't know what you believe about God. They've never been to church. They weren't in a church at that time. I said, I don't know what you believe about God, but I got to tell you something today. There is a God in heaven, and he knows every detail about what's happening right now, and that God in heaven loves you. And whether you can believe this or not, you may not be able to see this, but God wants to bring good out of a terrible situation if you'll just look to him. Man, they were just weeping, and they said, well, we got to go back out there. They went back out there. I preached the funeral. A bunch of people raised their hand to accept Christ during the funeral service, but not the parents or anything. Afterwards, after the service was over, my preacher called me. He said, hey, did you know? And he told me a story about that situation. He said there was a young man from our church that had met that girl just about a week before that, and had witnessed to her, and she had bowed her head and trusted Christ as her Savior. I thought, man, if I would have known that before this, but I didn't know it. But I thought, you know what? I'm going to call that dad, and I'm going to talk to that dad. And the next day, I tried to call him and get a hold of him. I couldn't. And finally, I got a hold of him. And I said, hey, Bill, I want to come and talk to you. And I want to bring you a book that I think will help you and everything. And he said, okay. He was kind of distant in the phone. And I said, Bill, is everything all right? And he said, I just got saved. I said, what? He said, I just got saved. I said, how did you get saved? He said, my brother-in-law told me about that my daughter had trusted Christ as her Savior. And man, I wanted that too. And I said, man, can I come up? He said, come on over. I went over. Man, we sat down and with him and his wife and found out that his wife had gotten saved as a little girl in a little church that she went to with her grandma. And we got to talking a little bit about it. Their other daughter was sitting there. I said, well, what about your other daughter, Bailey? And they said, will you talk to her? And I said, sure. And Bailey trusted Christ as her Savior. Listen, within 48 hours, all that family knew that they were going to be in heaven together. Amen. What are you saying? I'm saying, man, there's a God in heaven that wants to work in your life and in your family, and no matter what you're going through, he's a great God. He's worthy of going through some scars in this life so that we can get to know him. Amen. The second thing is this, man, it's worth the scars to get to serve him. Oh, my. Man, I've been in the ministry now for 30 years, and I can tell you there's been a lot of scars. But every one of them have been worth the opportunity to be able to serve the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Yep. There's nothing greater in all of life than to serve the Lord. Think about it this way. The scars in serving Jesus don't come from him, but for him. They don't come from him, but for him. What do you mean? We endure those things for him and for his sake. Most of the scars that we endure in serving come from family, from friends, from the enemy, the devil, just from life itself. I think about the story of Peter and John in Acts chapter 4, and when they were beaten, and in Acts chapter 5, and it says that they went away from being beaten, considering it a privilege that they were worthy to suffer for the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. What do you mean? Hey, it was worth serving him. Things may have happened, but guess what? It's worth it because one day we're going to get to see him and spend all eternity with him. Amen. The Apostle Paul, again, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, talked about all that he had been through, the shipwrecks and the beatings and all the different things. Whipped, if they said if they would beat you with a cat of nine tails 40 times, you'd die. He was whipped 39 times, a number of different times and all that. He went through all this persecution and everything. But you know what? In the end of it all, after he went through all that he had to go through and shipwrecks and all this other stuff, he said, but you know what? He said, the only thing that I have to glory in is Jesus Christ. Amen. What do you mean? Hey, yes, we're going to deal with scars. Yes, we're going to go through things in this life, but it's worth it to be able to serve the Lord Jesus. Amen. I was thinking of a situation that happened a little while back, probably about 10 years ago now, 12 years ago. I have a friend in Mexico. He's a national pastor there named Humberto Gomez, and he had a young man that had gotten saved under his ministry. This young man's name was Juan Cruz, and Juan Cruz got saved when he was 18. He started pastoring a year later. That's how they trained him, and he started pastoring, and Juan was a very gentle and a kind man, but man, he could preach with power. And Brother Gomez told me all the story about him and everything. Yeah, Brother Juan ended up pastoring three different churches. He was up in the mountains preaching. He had a church in the mountains where the Aztec Indians live. And I'm not trying to be mean by saying these things. I'm just telling you facts. And the Catholic Church was very strong in that area, and they had a stronghold, and they didn't like him being there. And so they began to persecute him for that. My son and my daughter actually stayed in Brother Juan's home there in Mexico when they went on a missions trip down there. And Brother Juan was persecuted and threatened. His life was threatened over and over again. On three separate occasions, he was abducted, taken, and beaten, and brought back and left at the house for dead. He didn't have money to go to a hospital or anything. But Brother Gomez told me, he said, Brother Martin, he said, every time that happened, he said, I'd go to visit him. And he said, he would just be smiling, and he'd say, it's okay, it's okay. It's worth it, it's worth it.
Come on.
The last time they took him and beat him and brought him back, they didn't know it. Of course, they had no money to go to the hospital or anything, but it ruptured his spleen. And 3 or 4 days later, Brother Juan died. They got him out of the mountains there where they were so upset that he was up there trying to start a church and trying to reach people with the gospel. But Brother Gomez told me this with tears in his eyes. He said, Brother Martin, I had no idea the impact that Brother Juan had in that short time that he was pastoring up there in the mountains. He said, we had the funeral. We couldn't have it up there, so he said we had it down below. He said, but the day of the funeral, 3 or 4 hours ahead of time, we saw people begin to come out of the mountains. He said there were streams of people that came out of the mountains and came down to be at the funeral of the man that they loved. He said there were thousands of people that had trusted Christ that came down at that funeral.
Amen.
What are you saying, Brother Martin? I'll guarantee you today, if Brother Juan was standing here before us, he's in heaven today, and I'll guarantee you he's saying it was worth the scars.
Yes.
Amen. Why? For all these people that came to know the Lord Jesus Christ because that he was just willing to do what God called him to do. So many other things that I could say, so many other testimonies that I could give. A dear friend of mine who just 2 years ago was martyred in Iraq. And his name was Stephen Trell, just a great young man. And gave his life to, hey, when 9/11 happened, he said that this was his testimony. When 9/11 happened, his desire was he was going to go in the military, and he wanted to join the military for this purpose. He wanted to kill as many Muslims as he could possibly kill. I'm giving you his testimony. He's told this all over the country. And he said, but he'd promised God to go to 1 year of Bible college. So he went to Bible college. He went to Crown College. And while he was at Bible college, God convicted him and broke his heart. He said, wait a minute. God said to him, those people that you want to kill, I want you to go and minister to them. I want you to go reach those people. He's like, God, how could I do that? God melted his heart. Stephen surrendered his life to go do that. met a young lady that had surrendered her life to do whatever the Lord wanted with their life. They got married. They had children, three. I used to tell him all the time, Stephen, are you sure you're supposed to be over there, man? This is right after war-torn Iraq, after all those situations. He's got three little tow-headed girls. That means they're real blonde, white hair. Three little tow-headed girls, and he's over in a Muslim nation trying to reach it. He finally ended up having a son. But just 2 years ago, he was coming back from the learning center where that's how they got into the country, was teaching English. And he was coming back from the learning center with his wife, and as they turned to come down the road to their house, that day, by God's grace, they did not take the children with them. They usually took the children with them. They left the children with the oldest daughter at home. They turned down the road. There was a vehicle blocking the road completely. They had to stop right away. They looked up in the rearview mirror, and somebody pulled right in behind them and pinned them in against that truck. They began to realize what was going on. Three men jumped out of that truck with submachine guns and came up and opened fire, riddled his body in the vehicle. Listen, Stephen draped his body over his wife. His wife is alive today. Her testimony, she could feel the bullets hitting his body. He gave his life for people who wanted to take his. But I'm going to tell you something today. Stephen made a great impact while he was there. And if Stephen was here today and from heaven, he would tell you it's worth the scars to get to serve him. His wife says that today. She speaks around the country and gives testimony about what happened. And she says, you know what? This isn't a tragedy. This was the fulfillment of what God called us to do. Amen. You say, well, how can you look at it that way? Because there's a God in heaven that's worthy. Amen. He's worthy of it. It's worth the scars to get to know him, but it's worth the scars to get to serve him too. How dare we ever complain about serving God? Jesus Christ went to the cross. He shed his precious blood so that we could be saved, so that we could have that kind of life. Amen. Thank God for the opportunity to maybe receive some scars for the Lord Jesus Christ. The third thing I just want to say this is one day it's going to be worth the scars to get to crown him. What do you mean? We're going to have an opportunity to give crowns back to the Lord Jesus Christ one day. Amen. The Bible speaks about at least five different crowns that we know of. There's a pastor's crown that your preacher will have the opportunity to be able to receive. It's called a crown of glory in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4. There's a martyr's crown, which these men that I've talked about, Brother Juan and Brother Stephen, they're going to receive those. A martyr's crown is called a crown of life. It's spoken about in James chapter 1 and verse 12 and Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. There's also, and this is one that every one of us can earn right here. What's that? A soul winner's crown. And it's called the crown of rejoicing. And it's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 19. Man, everybody that tries to win somebody to Christ or lead somebody to Christ, you're going to have a crown one day. And man, I'm telling you what, it's going to be worth it to be able to give those crowns back to the Lord Jesus one day for what he was able to use your life for. Then there's the striver's crown. Hey, everyone here has the opportunity to receive that. What do you mean? They call it a faithfulness crown. It's an incorruptible crown. And Paul talked about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 to 27. We're going to have some crowns given to us just for living for and serving the Lord Jesus that we'll be able to give back to him for everything that he gave to us. Amen. There's the anticipator's crown, which is called a crown of rejoicing in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. What are you saying, man? It's going to be a wonderful day one day in heaven. It's going to be wonderful to be able to give back to the Lord everything that he deserves and that he's blessed us to be able to do in this life. I share this one last thing with you and I'm done. Everybody probably knows of this man. He's a missionary to Africa. His name was David Livingston. David Livingston was a Scottish physician, but he gave his life to go serve the Lord and entered the London Missionary Society. He died in May of 1873 at 60 years of age. His father was Robert Moffat, who was also a great missionary, who convinced him to give his life to go. In 1844, he had an incident while he was on the mission field, and his left arm was mauled by a lion, his left arm and shoulder, to where he couldn't even use it anymore. In 1873, about 30 years after that, there was another incident that happened where he had fallen building a hut for the natives there in Africa, where he had fallen and crushed his leg, and he walked with a limp all the time because of that. But in 1873, he was such a godly man. He reached so many thousands and thousands of people in Africa. In 1873, he was in his hut praying like he always did, but he didn't come out of his hut, and his natives went in, the native people there, and they found him on his knees, and he had expired. He was passed on. At that time, they decided that when the telegrams went back and forth and London Missionary Society found out that he had passed, they wanted him returned to London right away. They wanted his body brought back. And the ensuing telegrams back and forth, the people in Africa, the natives there, said, "You can have his body, but you can't have his heart, because his heart belonged here." They literally opened him up, took his heart out, and buried his heart in deep, dark Africa. I want to share this, and this may sound a little bit gruesome to you, but I just want you to stop and think about this for a moment. They said, "Okay, we'll get his body there." Listen, it was a 9-month journey for them to get his body from the interior of Africa to the coast so his body could go back. Imagine what would happen in 9 months' time. It says the preparation at his death, that the natives, they, of course, emptied him out of all his contents, took everything out of his body, except his, and put his heart, buried his heart there. But they allowed the rest of his body to dry for 14 days in the sun before wrapping it in layers of calico bark and sailcloth. Then they sealed it with a coating of tar to keep the flesh from putrefying over the 1,000-mile journey to the coast. They had to walk his body there. They carried it on their shoulders. It took 9 months in tropical heat through difficult terrain to be able to get him to the coast. There were 60 men that took off to get his body back there so that they could send it back. 10 of those men died on the journey just from what they had to go through. 50 of them survived. Again, that lion attack splintered his upper arm and his shoulder. Well, when they got his body back, can you only imagine? We're talking 10 months, 11 months from the time that he died till his body got back. How are you going to even tell if this is the body of? And this is what they said. They knew for sure that it was his body. How did they know that for sure? Because of the scars that his body still had. What do you mean? The splintered shoulder and upper arm where he'd given himself to try to reach those natives and was attacked by a lion. The broken leg that was so mangled that he could hardly walk on it. How did they recognize him? By the scars that he bore. I'm going to tell you something. That's how God knows you and I today too. Amen. What do you mean? By the scars that we're willing to bear and carry for him. I'm not here today to make light of anybody's situation. Hardships are there. Scars are there. Wounds are there. Again, as I said, some people won't even come to the Lord because of what they've been through. But I'm going to tell you something this morning. It's worth the scars to get to know him. Amen. And it's worth the scars to get to serve him. If you're hesitating on serving God, man, bag that. Serve him with all your heart and your life. Amen. Because why? Because it's going to be worth the scars one day to be able to crown him. What a glorious day that's going to be. Yep. I'm just here to say it's worth the scars. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to be able to be here today and to speak to your dear people. And Lord, I do pray that you would take the simple thought and challenge our hearts about this thing about scars in our life. We all have them. We all go through them. Sometimes we bring them upon ourselves. Sometimes it's from people without. Sometimes it's situations. But God, whatever we go through, there's always a purpose in it. And Lord, I pray for those that may be going through hard times in their life, that just scarring that's happened emotionally and and mentally, that you'd give them victory in their life. I pray for those that have been through the physical scarring and things, that you'd give them strength and help. But that you'd help us all to just think about this thought tonight, this morning, that it's worth the scars to get to know you. It's worth the scars to get to serve you. It's worth the scars to get to crown you one day. I want to ask a couple questions with heads bowed and eyes closed. Nobody's looking around. How many of you would say, Brother Martin, I know for sure if I died today, I'm going to heaven. You'd raise your hand. That's me. I know that. I don't have a doubt about that. I see those hands. I appreciate you being honest about that. You can put your hands down. Maybe there's one today that would say, Brother Martin, I don't know. I really don't know what's going to happen when I die. But if I can know that I can go to heaven, I want to know that. Would you pray for me? Would you just slip a hand up? Nobody's looking around. This is between me and you. I just want to pray for you. Pray for me, Brother Martin. I see that hand. Anybody else? Pray for me. I see that hand. Anybody else? Pray for me, Brother Martin. I'm not sure about that. Another hand. Anybody else? Brother Martin, pray for me. I don't have that assurance. I'm going to pray for you. Listen, I'm going to do what I can do for you. I'm going to pray for you, but I'll pray for you here in just a moment. But you got to come and give us the opportunity to share the truth with you so you can know that for sure. Then let me ask you this question. How many of you say, Brother Martin, man, I'm just going through it right now. I needed this message this morning. Would you just remember me and what I'm going through and what I'm dealing with, and remember me as you close in prayer? And you'd raise your hand. That's me, Brother Martin. Pray for me. I see hands all across the crowd. Let's stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed. Father, I thank you for the opportunity again to be here. I pray that you'd bless this altar time. I pray for all those that raised their hand, they're not sure they're on their way to heaven. Lord, may they not take a step out of this building without getting that settled in their life, making sure that they know that they're your child on their way to heaven. Father, I pray for those that raised a hand going through hard times and hardships. You know every battle we face. You know everything that we go through. God, give them that strength in knowing that it's going to be worth the scars. Lord, just have your will and way at this altar time, I pray in Jesus' name. Musicians playing, if God spoke to your heart, why don't you come? You raised your hand. You said, God spoke to my heart. I needed this. Why don't you come? Hey, you raised your hand. You said, I'm not sure I'm on my way to heaven. Man, don't stay in your seat. Come on up here. Right up front, pastor will have somebody take the word of God and share with you how you can know that for sure. Greatest thing in all the world is to know that your sins are forgiven, to know that you're on your way to heaven. I'm going to tell you, it's going to be worth the scars one day. Wow, what a day it's going to be. Worth the scars to get to know him. Worth the scars to get to serve him. Worth the scars to get to crown him one day.